sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Monday, January 13th, and we're back.
We are back from a crazy weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Just kidding, it wasn't
well,
crazy.
Maybe it was for you.
No. It was normal.
Yeah, it was a normal weekend. What does that mean?
Ish.
Boats and mansion parties and all this stuff. You're living it up in LA, let me tell you.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So did you have a? I mean, can you talk about it?
Oh yeah, no. I was actually Friday. Friday was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in a really long time. We started off at this place called the Rusty Mullet. It's on Hollywood Boulevard. It's just kind of funny. I'm trying to remember what it used to be. Oh, it's driving me nuts. I used to know the name of it. But yeah, now it's called the Rusty Mullet. I just thought
that was
good. Sounds
good. What is that, like a club or a
bar?
No,
yeah, it's just kind of like a bar thing. It's kind of like all the windows open sort of thing, like a
chill
outdoor vibe. Yeah. And then we went to the new club. It's called DBA.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
It used to be Voyeur. I mean, I never went there. I just always saw the sign out front because it's like right by where I live.
I see.
Kind
okay.
of. So almost walking distance. Not quite, though, in like heels. That would be a bit much. I would still like, you know, it would be like a $2 Uber ride, but.
Yeah.
No, but thankfully I'd already cabbed it over to the Rusty Mullet. I don't know. I can't get over that name. I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny.
Whose idea was that?
I know. It's
like we're going to have this bar and it's going to be called the Rusty Mullet.
I'm telling you, they probably used some software to generate names, you know, and they took like two totally random words and put them together
maybe,
or something.
Maybe.
You know, it sounds like.
Yeah, no.
A person in the right mind would not come up with something like that.
Yeah, no, it was just kind of funny. And DBA is like, it's so like strange. Like they have these like weird like costume things on these people and they kind of like put on a weird show.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I don't know, it's just weird. Like I can't even describe it. Like this one chick was wearing like it was like a big clear bubble like around her head with like lights around it, and then the rest of it was just like blue cloth coming down.
Really?
And she's just like, you know, floating around all weird in it, and I'm like, this is just so bizarre.
Wow.
But it was cool. It was interesting.
Cool.
You know.
Did you get a chance to watch the Golden Globes at all?
I caught a couple minutes of it or so here or there. I actually ended up going to see Lone Survivor.
Oh, really? Was it good?
It was really good. I mean, it was really intense. Like I kind of had a feeling it would be intense just because war movies are.
Right.
But this was really intense. A lot of close action, blood and, you know, bones breaking. And just very, like, the stuff that just makes you be like, oh, my God. Oh, like, I can't even look, you know?
You wonder why they have to show it to you anyway, you know?
Oh, my gosh. It was, I mean, incredible job with the, you know, the makeup department for sure. Because there was just a lot of interesting wounds happening. So, but, yeah, very, very well-made film, I thought.
Sounds good.
Definitely made you feel something.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, by the end of it, I could hear, like, a lot of people crying in the audience. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I can't do that. I can't cry in movies. There's really nothing that, you know, that ever gets me going.
Much,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it does. Like, I definitely felt a lot. But, yeah, there were a lot of people you know, right. but I can hear that we're crying.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, when
that's
it ended.
Interesting.
So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, well, I'll wait to watch it at home in case I have to cry or something.
Yeah. I mean, right, like, that's just got to be the worst. Like, you're sitting in a movie and you're in public. Like, yes, it's dark, but uh-huh. still, there's so many people around you and you just, like, cry. And
start
then what happens?
Falling.
You don't have, like, Kleenex near you or, whatever. Like, how does that work? You know? Like, I mean, that's why, like, I think I fight it so hard. Like, sometimes, you know, there's movies where I'm like, oh, man. It's yeah. really sad. I just might feel like I want to cry, but I'm like, no, fight it. You have makeup on.
Yeah.
You're in a public place.
Yeah. Like,
what are you going to do to fix this? You know, when it ends, you're going to be all, you know, puffy eyed and, you know, mascara running down your face.
Right.
I think that's more what it is for me. It's like, okay, stay strong for your appearance, woman.
Exactly.
You can do it.
I better look good than feel good, right?
Oh man.
So I didn't even know there was a Golden Globes going on until I saw on Facebook some things, but it doesn't really appeal to me that much. I don't know.
It's so funny because, you know, this is like award season, and yeah. I remember being back home in Chicago. I don't think I ever missed an award show. You
really?
Know, that was like a thing, and I yeah. feel like everybody outside of LA, like, that's what it's for, you
right.
know, as far as like taping it.
Right.
The people that mostly view it are
right.
outside of Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Everybody wants to see what's going on in Hollywood.
Right.
The people that live here were just kind of like,
it's
another boring
to it.
Ceremony
yeah.
you have to sit through and look pretty for and be uncomfortable for however many hours. I don't know. I just know, like, people that actually have to go, they're not happy about it at all. Like,
no,
most
huh?
people that go to these awards are like,
they're not happy about
going.
They're
so boring.
Really?
Yeah, most people, like, it's very, I don't know, it's very rare that I've heard of somebody like, I'm so excited, I'm going to these awards. Like,
are you
they
serious?
Seem so, like, upset
I would
about
think
it.
People
like,
would be happy.
Oh, great.
If they're not happy, don't go. What the hell? You know, what is this?
Like, well, you know, it's part of the job. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Oh, I'm nominated. Oh, this sucks. Now I have to go.
Yeah. Oh, come on. That's bullshit.
I mean, I don't think I would hate it. If I was nominated,
no,
I'd be like, heck yes.
Yeah, exactly. Let the whole world know about it. You
it's
know?
Just it's just so funny because I feel like everybody reacts the same when they get an award.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe just because I've never been in their shoes, it's just something that comes over you and it's just so overwhelming you just can't help it. But I feel like they all do the same thing. They all sit there for about, you know, a whole like minute being like with their jaw dropped, like, and they're looking around like, wait, me? Do they like they have to make sure, like, okay, do they really call me? Like, are people pushing me to come up there?
Right.
They're in just such disbelief, and they finally make their way up, and then they're like so out of breath. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
They're always huffing and puffing, especially the girls. It's always like,
yeah.
I have to
Well,
I'm
they're
like,
all
gosh,
actors,
I'm so sorry.
You know?
I don't know what to say. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. It's like you know, you're constantly in the spotlight, and
right.
you know, it's like they. I don't know. They just all turn to, like, you know, blubbering humans that, like, don't know how to function.
Yeah.
It's just so funny to me.
Because yeah.
every awards acceptance speech is like that. Except for guys. Guys are usually pretty calm and collected, but females are just, oh my God, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
they can't even
drama,
handle it.
You know, we need some drama there.
I know, but
yeah.
you know, there's been some very, you know, inspiring speeches, though, acceptance speeches in the past. I've heard some pretty good ones.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not everybody, but,
right.
but yeah, there's some that always really stick out in your mind.
Yeah.
You know? And those will go down in history.
Yeah.
So.
That's true, yeah.
Who knows? You know, now watch, we'll play this back one day if I'm accepting an award. And I'm going to be an absolute mouth. Oh, my God. I don't know what to say.
Well, let's hope that happens.
It's entertainment for you.
Yeah. So, at any rate, right before we get to our special guest here, I wanted to bring up football. Did you guys win yesterday? Are you out of the playoffs?
Oh, we're out.
You're out.
We're out.
Okay. That's why you haven't been excited lately, because you guys are out, right?
Yeah.
You've been out
actually,
since what? Since last week?
I was in Chicago. No, it was when I was home.
Oh, really?
And I actually saw the game. We were going to go to the game.
Right.
And my friend lives right by there. I'm looking outside. I'm like, oh man, it is like snowing hard. Like, you know, we didn't really plan it. You know, he's like, well, we can go out there, try to scalp tickets, you know, we'll just stand outside for a while and then get our tickets and then stand outside for another while, you know, deal with, you know, a freezing cold game. And as amazing as that would have been with the Packers and everything, I just didn't have the, like, I don't have the right, you know, the right warmth. I don't, you know, really have like gloves or scarves or, you know, earmuffs or anything. I just kind of have my jacket, you know. It wasn't really the plan. So I'm like, there's no way I would have survived that.
Yeah.
And we lost anyway. But I mean, it was still fun. Okay, like, we went to a nearby bar and, you know, it just sucks. It's the Packers, you know, they're like our biggest rival. And,
right. Oh, well.
Know, they beat us out. But, oh, well.
It happens.
It does.
Yeah. All right, well, let's bring in our guest who's sitting here patiently, and a very beautiful guest, I might add.
Thank you.
And we have Erica McLean in the studio. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi. Closer to the mic, Erica.
Sure.
There you go. And so Erica and I met at a party at James's house a few months ago, right?
Yes.
At a party or something. And then we saw each other off and on, but we never really got a chance to talk. So this is a great opportunity to meet you a little bit and learn about you, because I read about you a little bit, and boy, you've got an interesting life. You've been through some stuff, right?
Yes.
I mean, you like lost a husband and stuff, right?
Yes.
While you were married to him.
And, oh, I'm and so all sorry.
That. Wow. So we'll get to that as well and stuff. But tell us what it is that you do, Erica.
I direct and produce. I'm in the adult industry.
Oh, so you direct and produce.
Yes.
Okay, so when I saw you at the party, I assumed, well, she's probably another porn star and everything, because I'd never met you before. But you're not really in front of the camera. You're behind the camera.
I'm behind the camera.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. So are you still doing it now and stuff?
Right now I've written a script, and I would like to do it mainstream. It's erotic. I write erotica.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
you like to write?
I love to write. I love to bring it to life. My late husband and I, a little synopsis of who I am. My late husband and I started a series called Barely Legal in 1999. Mm. Hustlers Barely Legal. And it's still going on. It's probably the longest running iconic series in adult history.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that means people like girls that just turned 18 and they're attractive to people.
Well, it was kind of a niche. Clive, my late husband, was senior photographer with Larry since the 70s. So he's from England.
Larry Flint.
Larry Flint. Larry right. Flint brought Clive and his son, when his son was 5, to United States to work for Hustler magazine.
So he recognized his talent when he was overseas?
He recognized that, yes. Clive would shoot for, he had the Page 3, the McLean girls, and he would shoot for, there was a magazine called We. There was a photographer named James Baez, who was a Frenchman, and he somehow was in touch with Larry and called Clive and said, there's a man named Larry Flint who started a magazine and he'd like you to work.
Oh, wow.
And Clive said, I wouldn't work for that rag if you paid me. Oh, right? Fast forward to a sloppy divorce, and he left England because they were on the front page of all the, it was like a scandal with his late wife and the celebrity she married or was seen with. And so he took his son and he said yes to Larry. Larry brought him to the States, to Palm Beach, and he got him a mansion. Clive had a list of what he wanted.
Really?
So, and actually I have footage of it. It's Clive is young with his long hair, rocker style, and Larry was walking. BBC filmed it. And so Larry brought him here, and then he also left Palm Beach, and he brought him here, and he and Roman were at the Chateau Marmont.
Oh.
Larry put him up there. And then they got their home, but he was established here. He's an established photographer.
Yeah. So he was established overseas before, when Larry met him.
Yes.
So was he doing adult stuff too?
No, he was shooting, lingerie stuff and nude stuff, but he was Cat Stevens' manager. So he would shoot Led Zeppelin. I have pictures of him on the plane with the Rolling Stones. So he would shoot that genre. Uh-huh. What happened is that he shot it and he would sell it to them. So he didn't own it. Could you imagine if he owned it? That would have been amazing. But but he also shot nudes and stuff like that. He shot everything, and he was amazing.
Wow.
So in 1999, we were married, and he came home and he said, I would like to do a series. And I was, at that time, was a makeup artist. And I had done makeup for Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Eminem, Toyota Chrysler, on and on and on. I've got a list. Forever, I've been blessed. Oh, and I was with Playboy. So I said, you know, it's hard work, but if you want to do it, let's do it. He brought a couple of videos that they had attempted to do in Hustler. There was no Hustler video or store.
Right.
And he put it in. I said, oh, my God, take this off. This is crap. You know, we got to do. So because he was such an expert with light and making women and men look beautiful and putting them in poses, I was like, all right, let's try this. We did Bare Legal 1, 2, 1, 3. By the time we got to number 6, it was on the AVN Adult Video News Awards chart, like number 1.
Really?
Clive came home and he goes, look what we've done. And it was like, oh, my God, there was no video. There was no store. So then we started that. We started Hustler Video.
Really?
And after we went from 1 to – they're numbered. The series is numbered. 1 to 53, Clive was diagnosed.
Oh, wow.
And we did Bare Legal on vacation, Bare Legal 1 and 2 at our home in Mexico, Bare Legal ski camp, all these specials. Yeah. After he passed Mr. Flint, Larry, gave me the opportunity to be at the helm of the biggest iconic series. So I produced and directed. I wrote, produced, directed from 53 to 95. So I've produced over 600 scenes.
Wow.
I am.
Can you imagine? I mean, that's a lot of work, man.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of watching sex, too, huh?
Well, you know what?
But you're directing it.
I'm directing. It's a whole different.
Yeah, but the atmosphere is the same, you know. I mean, you're sitting there with people getting it on and stuff, you know. But not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I would love a job like that, you know. But
you know, you would say.
Shut up, yeah.
But you know, you have to come on one of my sets because I always invite people on. It's so cool because I see people like walking around naked. For me, that's normal. For me, that's when I walk onto a straight set, I'm like, okay, when are they going to take the clothes off? Or like, but I was with Playboy for a long time and I learned a lot of things through being on different sets, being on mainstream sets. Because when I was on with Playboy, I've done so many centerfolds and covers, done their makeup. And I would say, okay, the directors and producers go, okay, how are we going to make the clothes come off? So I watched that, but then I also watched the progression of doing a centerfold, you know. And so you watch how the clothes come off, you watch the progression of how it gets into it. For me, it's easy. I love it. At first, it was hard. Can I swear on here?
Of course, yeah.
First, it was hard to say, okay, you know, I would say how many, you know, I would ask the girls, how, you know, what turns them on, what positions they want, whether it's anal or what can they do, can they squirt? And then I would say to the, you know, to the guys, so I would have to direct them. People say, well, what do? You obviously have to have, I do a storyline.
Right.
I'm big on storyline. I know a lot of people go, I cut to the chase, but whatever.
But you are a woman. I mean, you like to have context there, you know, a story or something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you cut to the chase.
Yeah.
You know, I just did an interview.
Men just want body parts.
So I like to, you know, the direction you have to, you have to give them some direction in order to go to, and then give them, you know, have a little bit of a script and say, okay, then let's, you know, get into it. So while they're having sex, when I would write the script, when they have sex, they just cut to, and then they say whatever they're doing, you know, okay, oh, you're turning me on, or like a little harder, or pull my hair, or, you know. So and I watch it so that it looks pretty. I watch it on the monitor so I give the viewer something so you could see the action, you know. Right. And I remember the first time I said, I think it was Joey Ray. I said, okay, or Nick Manning, one of the big stars. And I said, okay, how long is it going to take you to get your cock hard? And he looked at me and he goes, he said, you just turned me on. I didn't expect that from you. You know, you expect that from somebody or somebody in the jacking off. And you go, you know, or, you know, should she rub your balls? And he's like, you're looking at me like, did you just say that? And I, at first it was like a little bit like, do you think you could get hard? And now it's like, it's second nature. It's fun. I love it. I love what I do. I love playing the scenarios. I went from... After Bare Legal, I did Bare Legal Brazil. I was in Brazil, Bare Legal Miami, back in the saddle. I've traveled all over extensively with it.
Wow.
Then I did Hardcore Circus, was my first independent film. I dreamt it. I created it in my backyard. I have a ranch. Circus still Stilt walkers, fire eaters, everything. And it's like kind of like The Wizard of Oz meets Jean-Paul Gaultier meets Tim Burton. Then I went on to doing Alice, an urban hip-hop Alice. Then my late husband wrote. He didn't have a chance to do it. We were going to do it right before he got diagnosed. And I did Flying Pink Pig 1, 2, and 3. Snoop wrote and gave me a song for the Pink Pig called Pink Pussy.
And then, appropriately enough.
Appropriately enough. Yeah. And then I did Erica McLean's Flying Solo, where it's a single girl. It's a girl showing, my girl showing women how to masturbate and how to, and it's a how to, what toys,
right.
little tricks. Nikki Hunter said, okay, she likes to take grapes, freeze them and put them inside and then have the guy go down and eat her. It's like, you know, wow. My God, how do you come up with that?
Yeah, how do you come up with those ideas? My God.
I think everything. Like, I could write a scene about this. I could write, I mean, everything is a scene for me. I wrote a fabulous thing called, it's called Inside Paris. I changed it to Inside Paris to Paris Nevermore. Takes place in New Orleans. I want to do that. That's my goal this year. Whether I do erotica or whether I do it hard and soft, you know, like hardcore and sell the soft to a station, which is what I was going to do with the Pink Pig. And then I just spoke to Gary from Showtime, and he said, well, we're looking for erotica. I'm like, okay, it keeps going back and forth. But I will do it and or do mainstream and do erotica and get it all put together. But the script is fantastic. It takes place in New Orleans.
So erotica means what? That there's a story or something? That the sex is sort of like not the primary thing, maybe? Or?
Well, the primary thing in adult, they're really, you know, it's there's a few of us that have a storyline that you know that have a story, and I love story, and because it leads into erotica is more where it's more where I could touch her and pull her the bra down. That's erotica. That's the lead into, and that's really erotic. Sometimes you don't even see it, or there's a shadow where you're seeing where you could seeing like the dick going in and you know, but you can't. So it's very, and it's more of the words that they speak, and it's more, could even be with the voiceover, could even be where you're watching it come together.
Right.
And
so it's suggested more sometimes, Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. And that's easier. Yeah, that's easier for women to take too, I'm sure, right?
Do you know what? My cleaning lady, who's my friend, who I like to think of as, you know, that she just comes to clean. But she said the interesting things. She had saved money to take her husband for an anniversary gift to Las Vegas to buy, and they bought a film. I don't know. You know, bought a video, paid for it. And she said, of course, it came like after like 10 minutes. Sorry, Maggie, if you're listening. But it came like after 10 minutes. And she said, but then it's so bad. Right. She goes, you can't even watch it. I want it where after you come, that you watch it. And then comes another scene that you love it, that you're involved in watching it.
Right.
That the woman could say, okay, well, let me see where she's going. Let me see this. Or they get excited again.
Okay.
You know, maybe, you know, she, you know, whatever. You know,
right.
Multiple orgasms.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. So this is cool. So you've gotten into this now. Did you ever think you were going to get into the adult industry? At all?
You know, I knew when I was five, I'm from back east, I knew when I was five I was going to be in
something,
some sort
sex
of entertainment.
Related.
No, not sex related. Well, actually, I was pretty sexy when I was eight.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was five, I was smoking. I'm kidding. No, actually, I was pretty sexually charged little kid, now that I think about it. So, but I knew I wanted to be something in entertainment, putting on shows and stuff. And this is back east. And this is when it's not like if I was out in Hollywood, maybe. But it was, you know. But I knew it. And I remember, like years ago, my mom saying, did you know that you were going to be doing what you're doing? Same question. And I said, I had no idea.
Right.
You know, I said, I had no idea I was going to do adult. But I had an idea at five that I was not going to be back east. And I was going to do something in show business. And she goes, no, let me iterate. And I said, no, you don't have to. It's the same thing. It's entertainment is entertainment. And adult is adult. But I am honored and to be one of the only women, or one of a few women, who are in this genre, who absolutely, you know, do their thing, and I love it.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult for, being a woman in this industry?
Some people, you know, I went to a... I went to Cheech Marin's, and I could say this. I went with a friend of mine, Jerry Cohen, who's a director. He did Married with Children. I went to Cheech's house for 4th of July.
Right.
Interesting thing, because here you think there's a stoner, and there's all kids running around. There was a family picnic, okay? So we were sitting around the table, and one of the writers was for Gossip Girl. So when her husband was a director, or boyfriend was a director, then across from me was an older gentleman that was a casting agent, and his wife was on a soap or so. And so the girl told me what she did, and I said, oh, I love the billboards. You know, I love, they didn't know what I did. And I said, I love the billboards. They're sexy, they're great. And she goes, oh, she didn't know where to put herself. She says, well, sex sells. And Jerry's kicking me on the tip. He goes, tell her who you are. And I'm like, no. So then the moment, of course, came when this gentleman across from me said, you know, we were talking about casting, and the man across says, so what do you do? And I said, I direct and produce. And he goes, oh, what have we seen that you've done? I said, I'm in the adult industry. And he said, oh, this is a man. He goes, oh, are you okay with that? And I said, are you okay with that? I'm perfectly fine with it. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, you wouldn't be doing it if you weren't okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, people have, till 2014, they still have problem with it.
Right.
One of my neighbors was like, I have like 8 dogs, and I'm walking my dogs to go up to the forest. It's a private road. And this guy knew what I did, and he was literally on his horn with his kids in the car. And he's like, you know, if I would have moved, he would have run one of my dogs over.
Wow.
For sure. My friend Maggie, my cleaning lady, was like horrified. She said, I've never been so scared to go, Maggie, get somebody, hurry, get somebody. But I stood in front until we got, because he was inching away, and he called me every single name he could think of, and I go, thank you.
Wow.
It's like, you know, it's 2014. Yeah, okay, call me a whore. Now I'm
with
really
his kids in the car.
Yes, and see, that's the
I
trip.
Mean,
yeah,
come yeah, on.
But that's the thing about people trying to preach to other people, and these end up being the biggest sinners. You know,
exactly, yeah. Exactly. And these are the ones who cheat on their wives, who are abusive to their kids, who are, you know, I mean, come on, grab a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it.
Right.
If you do, well, then that's cool. I had one man. This is a great quote. Some of my girls were signing at a little store, and had like a line of guys, and I was there with James. And I said to this one man, I said, while he was waiting, I said, hi, America McLean. I directed this movie. And he goes, I know exactly who you are. He goes, I've gotten off to many of your videos. And I said, thank you. And then I was driving on the way home. I'm thinking, I smiled all the way home. And I thought, you know what? I have gotten more men and women off than, you know, and without even touching them.
Right.
Now, who could make that statement? I've given joy and happiness to many men.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'm a happy giver.
Yeah.
Without even touching them, I have gotten men and women off. So,
right.
You know, and why not? You know, it's a pleasure. Come on, everybody likes sex. Well, I would say not everybody, but
most people do. Most people. And the ones that don't, maybe are just hiding it. You know, maybe they're not admitting to it. But how can you not like sex? You know, right. I mean, and people can like it in different capacities. You know, you don't have to like porn. You don't have to watch porn to like sex. You know, it's a whole different thing. You know, I mean, to me, it's like the greatest gift we got, and it's free. You know,
yes.
I mean, how can you argue with that?
You can't argue with it. I love it. I think it's great. It keeps you healthy. You know, I think an orgasm a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
Sort of that. And, you know, and I was doing another radio show and I brought toys. I brought, Hustlers supplied me with these amazing vibrators and lube and all this fantastic stuff. And, so I was doing the show, and there were these two girls next to me. They were twins, and they're like wild. You know, there you go with whatever. And they're going, oh, what is that? And I said, well, these are balls that you put inside, Benoit balls, and you put inside to keep you tight so that you could work the muscle inside.
Oh, like the Kegel ball thing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. There you go, girl. And I said, and this is for this, and this is the jackrabbit, and you know, you play with your clit while it's inside you. So there's like, you know, there's, you know, stimulation.
Double
and she's like, they're going, yeah, exactly. And she, oh, and I'm thinking, And I got off, and some guy comes at me because they're going, ugh, and they're going, they go with more people than you'll have hot lunches in your life.
Probably, like, and yeah.
Come on.
You know, but they just like come across as like these prude people, you know, and stuff. But yeah, whatever, you know, whatever. But the thing is, I think people that are open to sex and stuff are experiencing life. You know,
I
more
learned a lot
fully,
from Fifty Shades of Grey.
Did you?
May I say something too? It's like, you're absolutely gorgeous, Mia. And
oh,
I walked in
you.
And I said, are you in the adult industry? But the thing is that my next movie, what I'd like to do is find girls. See, this is why I was thinking of maybe crossover some of the adult actresses. Because it's very sexy, and it's to the point where, you know, I've seen people, directors, try to direct girls that are having sex, and they look like they're drilling for oil, whereas I know how to direct people, make it look good, make it believable. I'll go in and say, oh, I'm not believing it. You know, let's take this down a notch or bring it up a notch. But it's to direct something to make it erotic enough. And that's where my next movie is going to be. Mm. The eroticism of the lead up, it's going to change the way that people look at me as adult director. I'm hoping that somebody takes that shot as I'm looking for an investor, for a financial person to come in to allow me to do it. To allow me to do my thing, and it will be the biggest because it's what women need. It's the freedom. It's the freedom to feel. The main characters is, you know, share a little bit like where she's conceived and where she's brought up in New Orleans, and then she dies. She's a young woman, and she gets hit by a car. She doesn't know that you're in the middle world, you know, and so before you ascend. So she goes through all these things, and it's like, it's really the best. Think of it now. I don't know how your sex life is or so, but think of it, because most people have this where they grow up with the morals and what you can do, what you can't do, what's good, what's bad. Imagine that you've taken the best drug without taking a drug. Right. And you've taken the best ecstasy or E or whatever, or you smoke, you know, some weed, or you have some Jack down, whatever it is to get you loosen up. But it's natural. All of a sudden, you're dead and you're going, all right, I'm going to experience a ménage à trois. I'm going to experience a gangbang. I'm going to experience this, or I'm going to experience being. So all your inhibitions and all your judgmental, all your everything is gone. So you just enjoy that moment of that sexual pleasure.
Right.
That's my next movie. So
sounds
it's
good. I mean, you obviously, you know, like.
Yeah, it's a lot more like visionary to it, you know.
Yeah,
it's not just.
I mean, it doesn't
two
sound
people
like
getting
porn
it on,
to me, you know. Because there's a lot of mainstream movies that are erotic without being pornographic, you know. So I mean, it's possible, and it's done all the time. And if you can do it in good taste, and it does turn on women as well, then I think you've achieved what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, it's 2014. I think it's important for women, no matter what age, to get turned on by it. And also, I went with the wardrobe. That I wanted to do some marketing with the wardrobe so that any age woman could be like, what the main character is wearing. Or they'll go, wow, did you see that I have two lesbian vampires and they're Zoe and Adora and they're a little punk and a little goth. Or like, you know, to just mix it up and to have that. I envision it. I could see it. I'm working on it. I'm polishing it now more toward mainstream. We'll see how it goes. Might do it with Penthouse.
Yeah. Nice, nice. And you worked with Playboy as well for years, you said?
I worked with Playboy for years. And then, it was a bunny. Then I went doing makeup for them. Then did you know that Hustler, I mean, Barely Legal was the first, I guess, adult outside of Playboy, being shot for Playboy, that was on Playboy TV.
Oh, really?
So we were the first crossover. And so then a lot with Hustler, obviously. I worked some for Penthouse, and I love Penthouse. I love Kelly Holland and everybody there. They're like, that's a great group of people.
Yeah.
You know, just to expand and work for different people is great. You know, to bring a vision, to be a woman, to turn a man on without, you know, without touching him is a great thing, but to turn men and women on, to say, well, I love your work. And I'll get inboxes on my Facebook saying, I love your work. I'm a fan of yours. I'm like, wow, this is from all over.
Right.
From South America to Europe to everywhere.
Wow.
Right.
So it's I love it, you know. I'm want to go to the next level.
Right. So it sounds like Clive was really the one who introduced you to all this stuff, right? To this industry. What were you doing before that?
No, I was with Playboy before that. I don't really consider so that
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wasn't really in the adult until actually, well, I guess Hustler was the adult. So I guess right. I was there. He was probably very instrumental. And he was my guru in learning how to light right. and learning how to make the women look good. He loved women and women loved him. Right. I learned that gift from him, the lighting mm-hmm. and just the stretching of the body and the positioning of them. And also he was so comfortable around naked. It was, he would make... It'd make it light and happy, and everybody loved to work for him.
Right.
So
sounds good.
Yeah.
But were you that much into sex before that as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I was into sex since I've been little.
Really? So you've been fascinated with this industry for a while, right?
Not necessarily with the industry. Just me personally growing up. I don't know. I was just very sexual. And not, you know, I don't know if I can say this, but I remember being with one of my sisters, and we were playing pirate, and she was the guy, and I was the girl. We would switch off, and I remember saying to her, well, "Can you touch me there?" Uh-huh. And I remember I had to be like 8 years old or 9 years old. I was excited,
right.
and I was kissing her, and that was my first, you know, I'm sure of many, but that was my first that I remember of being excited and thinking. You know, and just being in the moment of not thinking, okay, it's your sister and it's a girl
right.
and you're 9 years old. But
you don't think about these things
no.
when you're that young. You just kind of go with the senses, I guess, right? You don't try to think too much about it.
Yeah, the innocence, and that's exactly what my next person, my next character is that you cross over that, so you don't really think about what's going on. You think about the pleasure
right.
that you're giving, the pleasure that you're getting back.
Right.
So it's you know, and why not? You're not hurting anybody. Do you see what I'm saying? It's sort of like, you know, if it feels bad, okay, then you stop. Or I think touch is very important. Right. I think the lead up of that, I think connecting with the person that you're going to be with. I mean, a fuck is a fuck. Anybody could do it, but, you know, to get off. But I think sometimes it's the lead in, it's I love touch. If I connect with somebody with that because of that, that's beautiful.
Right.
And on top of it, if you have good sex, that's great. If you could get into, if you have good sex and you also have good dialogue, but also, and then it evolves into something nicer, then that's great.
Right. Yeah. And I think usually if the sex is good, everything else falls into place, don't you think? I mean, it's like a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Could you imagine some people go, oh, this friend, and there's nothing worse than you know, anticipating, and then you go, okay, this guy's great, and we're going out, and we're going to these shows, and he's taking me all this, and then you get into bed, and it's like, I'm sure you've had this experience. You're going, oh, my God. Okay, I think I better go.
Because I'm always, I make him wait. I'm always with the guy for a long time before having sex. So.
Are you really?
Uh-huh.
What turns you on?
And when I'm not with somebody, I'm celibate. With single comes celibacy for me. So.
Whoa.
Do you have a boyfriend now?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I
so don't. What turns you on?
I've gotten out of a relationship.
Really?
So,
what turns you on?
Wow, I am really put on the spot right now.
I don't know. I mean, do you like what? I mean, what initially? Like, okay, obviously, you have some sort of attraction when you meet somebody, right?
Right.
But what turns you on? What, like, I don't mean sexually.
Yeah, you don't have to say sexually, but something about the guy.
Did you like
you
to
know?
Touch the way that he touches you, that he talks to you turns you on, the way that sometimes you could just get a text and go, oh my God, this is. You know, this is great, or just, you know.
It's such, I mean, I'm a very, like, affectionate person, like, when I am in a relationship. And I think what it is, I feel like each, you know, guy I've been in a relationship with has just, like, a thing that they do that, like, nobody else does. Like, it's, like, a specific look or a little something. And it's the thing that they don't even realize that they're doing. And it's like, oh, that's so cute. I love when he does that. Or I love the way he says that. Like, there's always one very specific thing that, you know, that no two guys I've ever, like, been alike. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like one thing. Oh yeah, this guy, he had a similar, you know, look like that or phrase like that, too. Like, no, they've all been totally different.
But it's a turn on. Like,
it is. Yeah. You know, and you know, you never know what it is until you notice them doing it a lot. And you're like, oh, I like that. But they don't even know that they're doing it.
Right.
They don't even know it does anything for me.
Right.
But...
So, yeah. But that's just one of the things that attract you to the guy. It's not just that one thing, right?
Right. No. I mean, that thing comes over time. You okay. know, it's after a while, and they're doing it, like, repeatedly, and it's like, oh, okay. I like that.
Okay. Know? Sounds good. So, Erica, where were you born? Where are you originally
from? I'm from back east. I'm from Bronx. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm, like, a Jersey girl. So, grew up there, and I'm very, I'm glad that I... was from there.
Yeah.
People from back east, I'd say back east, New Jersey, New York, or Chicago.
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, they have the roots, and they come out, and they just, yeah. and they understand. I think, you know, everybody comes out here. There are a lot of, it's a mixture of people. But I like being from back there, because if I say I'm going to do something, I do something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't flake out on people. I don't do that. I show up. If I say I'm going to do it, I do it.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty much that way, you know, and yeah. And I like when people are like that, but it's so different. It's a learning curve.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah. So did you have a nice childhood and everything? Okay. An okay childhood? No.
Well, that's another subject.
Yeah, you don't have to get into the details.
I would always be in fantasy land. I would always be in fantasy. My mom was my biggest supporter, would always be there. My dad had a little bit of a problem. Like a little bit of a drinking problem, and then he would not be nice.
Oh, wow.
So we'll skip that part of it.
All right.
But,
So at what point did you move? Did you move from there?
No, I had to be 18 or 19, and then I traveled around the United States and Canada. I wound up in San Francisco, and I love it, the Bay Area. Mm. And how I got into makeup was I was going to nursing school.
Oh,
really?
Yes. And Marin County, I was going to nursing school, and I lived with a man named Jerry Pompili, who was in the music industry with Bill Graham, Fillmore East and Fillmore West. And he would say, oh, get a real job, because I would go and I would do makeup at department stores and stuff. And I fell into that because I was working at a bar and I was like burning myself out. My girlfriend saw an ad and she said, oh, I could do that.
Uh-huh.
So I talked my way into doing over 250 girls. I got picked to work with this company, Cardo, out of New York City.
Uh-huh.
So, and going to school, too.
Wow.
So I was going to nursing school. I was going to be a nurse. I was full on into it. I love the body.
You would have been the hottest friggin' nurse in the hospital. Are you kidding me?
And I said, sir, how are you like feeling? Let me give you an, I'm kind of depressed. I'll put a little blowjob and then we'll give you a little.
Yeah, there you
I'll
go.
Give you a little breakfast. I'm kidding. But,
no, that's funny, you. But that's a fantasy, you know? I mean, that you lie in bed in the hospital and then the nurse starts playing with you and stuff.
But I was into it. I loved it. And what happened is, I thought, okay, I'm gonna do this makeup, and then I started doing makeup for different photographers in the Bay Area and video. I started doing music videos, and I remember being on the set, and it was Eddie Money was doing the Ronettes, being My Little Baby, and so Bill Graham and Jerry walk onto the set. They go, what are you doing here? And I said, this is the job you said, get a real job.
Yeah.
And this is my real job. Wow. I'm doing makeup and I'm going to school. Well, I was like burning the candle at both ends. And then I took a semester off from school and I never went back.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just kept getting, you know, directors and photographers would take me on set and I just loved it. And then I challenged myself when it came down to LA, because another makeup artist friend said, that's what you do. And I was saying, oh, okay, that's what you do. And so I moved down here, and I was with Playboy, And they were like my family for like, I was with them for 5 years.
What do you mean you were with them? What were you doing?
I did makeup for them.
I see, the whole time.
I worked with makeup and for the LA, for Michael Trakillis. And he did probably pretty much all the Playmates and stuff. And they would put me in the little scenes with the Playmates. It was kind of, it was fun.
Yeah.
And
but you never really considered being in front of the camera?
I've done a couple of things in front. I did a couple of layouts and stuff here and there, and some lingerie modeling.
Right, but no hardcore film.
No hardcore. You know, because if hardcore was how it is now, it wasn't looked upon as that. I mean, that was really like, you'd really, those are... That's like Ginger Lynn, Amber Lynn, you know, all those people that were, that was a little bit different. If it was how it is now, I probably, if I flipped it a little bit, I would be.
Yeah.
You know, because then you see everything is treated different. You know, you're treated, you know, you really still, you still have to be careful too, because people still don't like, don't accept.
Right.
And then you really have to stand, if that's what you do, accept it, own it. And I would, if it was now, I would probably do it. No.
Yeah. There's so many new girls joining the industry every day, huh? I mean, it's just, it seems like endless, you know, and there's so many women. Do you think most of them do it for the money, or do they seek something else?
It's for the...
like fame and stuff, you know, maybe... you know, maybe they want to be actresses, but they don't feel they can, they're ready for mainstream, so they'll start like that.
But I think it's for the attention, but yeah. I think sometimes they get in it and they would like to be a Jenna Jameson, or they'd like to be somebody that's a well-known porn star, because like I said, now it's accepted. If you say, oh, I'm a porn star or porn, and a lot of people in the music industry, a lot of actors, they're very attracted, you know, mainstream people are attracted to those girls because it is very, they look very glamorous, and it's like, okay, that's their fantasy to see them, you know, getting fucked. Or if you love sex, I say that's a great thing. If you're sexually charged and great, and you got a head on your shoulder, you have mental clarity, you got a head on your shoulder, and you're accept who you are, and you accept the ramifications, what's going to happen afterwards, and you're okay with it, you can make a lot of money. And invest in something and then get out.
That's true, yeah. And so you mentioned you have a ranch now, so you're living nicely, huh? I mean, you're reaping the fruit.
I have a horse ranch, and my late husband and I, he was the one that saw it. I have a horse ranch, and I currently have 5 horses. One,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have 8 rescue dogs. I rescue dogs.
I guess you have the room for them, obviously, on the ranch.
Acres, it's pretty amazing. And sometimes I want to like give it up because I think, okay, it's too much for me to take care of. But then I look at it and wake up to the Angeles Forest, my horses, fresh air.
How can you give it up? Yeah.
You know, it's like, where do you go? Yeah. Where do you top this? And I have a house in Mexico as well.
Wow.
So in Cabo San Lucas. And
do you ever throw like nice parties and stuff? I mean, that'd be like an ideal party place.
Oh, you mean the ranch?
The ranch, yeah.
Let's make a big LA talk radio party. I'm open to that. If you think you want to do it, let's do it.
But do you? I mean, you don't throw parties or something?
I did. I throw birthday parties and such for my friends. And a lot of people film. I've opened my place for people to film. So if you want to get in contact with me, last week I had Kink was there. There's a mainstream promo for some reality show that's going to be filmed. I film, you know, I now rent it out to different people. So,
that's
if you want to have a party there, that'd be awesome too. There's plenty of parking. And it's fun because there's so many different little. There's like the barns and the stables, and there's a guest house. There's a pool, and the view is freaking off the chain. It's like at the front, you look at it at night. You look like you think you're in like either in South America in the mountains someplace, or in
how cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's gorgeous.
Very nice. And so, how can people get a hold of you? How can they find out more about you if they want to? I know you're on Twitter, Facebook, right?
Every day? Facebook is Erica McLean, ericamclean. You could inbox me because I get like a lot of people asking to be friends. But just say that you heard me on LA Talk Radio. You know what? You could email me too, ericamc@ca.rr.com. And if you're interested in renting it out to do a party, or I have horses and it's great for music videos or videos, or if you just want to chat and...
Sounds great. I mean, you're so much fun, you know.
Thank you. You
always have a good vibe about you. You hug and you kiss, and it's really cool, you know. So thank you so much for joining us,
Erica.
Oh, my
God, thank you. What a pleasure.
Of course, and you're so much fun, and all the best to you.
Yeah, you've really started something in a way. Like, you're like a pioneer of, you know, I mean, being a pioneer of anything is, like, super exciting. It's legendary. I love
definitely.
It.
Thank you.
All right, Erica McLean. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Mia, thank you.
Thank you.
And see everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.